It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
You used to disappear on these lands and hunt in these woods. And now, so do I. In my own way.
A young Ojibwe man sits in a remote, frozen landscape, tending a fire for four nights. But he's not alone, as his father, clad in white, speaks back to him from the afterlife.
That's the setup of Four Nights and a Fire, a short film that debuted Thursday on PBS Wisconsin.
Writer and director Alex Nystrom is an Ojibwe filmmaker from Minnesota and a member of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. He says he wrote the story as a way to explore his own grief with the passing of his father and connect more deeply with his native identity. Alex joins us to talk about the film. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, I'm looking at your website, Alex, and I got to start here. Alex Nystrom, it says, is an Ojibwe filmmaker obsessed with ghosts, and that last part was underlined. What fascinates you about ghosts? And that's connected to the film we're going to talk about, too.
I've always been obsessed with ghosts. I just think that they are the perfect contradiction. I think they're both comforting and terrifying at the same time. And in a lot of ways, they're a better version of a human because they don't get bogged down in the daily details. And I just see them as an extension of life and a physical manifestation of memories and unresolved things that, we all go through.
And if I read or watch something with ghosts in it, often that's going to be a horror sort of thing. And that's definitely not where you're coming from, I don't think. You mentioned they can be terrifying, but it's more than that for you. What is it that makes you want to investigate ghosts in the work that you do?
I just think that, I'm not the first person to utilize the spirits and the ghosts in filmmaking. I just think that it's a great way to externalize a lot of complex emotions. And you're totally right. I sort of, in this film, sort of hint at what could be a horrific situation, and then it becomes something else entirely pretty quickly.
And that takes us into Four Nights and a Fire, a father and a son, and the son is there keeping a fire. Tell us a little bit about the relationship in this story that you're telling.
Yeah, so Four Nights and a Fire, it's about a young Ojibwe photographer who stubbornly takes on the responsibility of keeping a sacred fire alive for four consecutive days and nights, just like in the title. And he's mourning his father, who's transitioning to the afterlife. And meanwhile, his father's spirit tries to reach him from the other side.
I felt, and maybe this is what I'm reading into it, in this almost ritual, right, of these four nights and the fire, trying to bridge a gap that maybe wasn't bridged even when the father was alive, trying to reach out and communicate and send those last messages that we didn't get to reach when we're alive. Am I reading that into there, or is that something you put there?
No, I think that's totally right. And let me put it this way. This film actually started as a poem, and I'm not a poet by any sense of the imagination, but that's just sort of what ended up becoming the voiceover of the film. That's sort of how the emotion spilled out for this particular project. And then what also really quickly started to happen is I felt a need for this sort of call and response. And that's sort of how we ended up with this dual perspective film between a father and a son. And in the film, not to spoil too much, but they can't see each other. They're existing on two different planes. And so I really started to think about the film as more of a choreography as a part of the performance. And because they're always existing in the same spaces and sometimes in very tight quarters, but they can't see each other. And so you get to see sort of these raw, unfiltered emotions from both the father and the son in relation to each other, unable to help each other, even though that's entirely what they want to do. That's what they really want to do.
You've written that making this film was vulnerable and cathartic. Where were you coming from in writing that poem that was the kernel of this film, and then on into writing and then filming this?
It's a very personal story. I made it to honor my late father. He passed away about 10 years ago when I was in my 20s, not to give up my age. And I'd actually taken several years off of filmmaking because of it. And then when I started to feel like I wanted to make a film again, like I said, it just kind of spilled out of me in a different way than before. Usually I would write a screenplay over, you know, many months. And this one just came out actually almost, the voiceover came out in basically half of a day. And then it really just became about building the world and the visuals and all of the other craft that comes with filmmaking around it, because the voiceover was just so visceral and raw. It came up so easily. So I just didn't want to interrupt that flow, if that makes sense.
Now I'm hoping you can paint us a picture here. I've seen this and obviously you're very familiar with it. It's set outdoors, but it's very sparse in some ways, kind of minimalist, just the two characters, the son and the father's ghosts. What were you shooting for in the look of the movie?
Yeah, so I want to give a shout out to our incredibly talented cinematographer, Mike Malawanik, who's actually from Chicago, so not too far away. And he and I were really close collaborators on the visuals. And really our goal from the very outset was that we wanted every frame of this film to feel like a painting. And so, you know, the visual style, you notice there's no camera movement. It's all stillness. Mm-hmm. And I think in that stillness, you're able to entice the audience to really linger in those images with you and sort of fill in sort of the blanks and linger in a lot of the feelings that we leave for you. And so, you know, you're talking about the woods, and we really wanted to create this sort of like intimate, as you said, ritualistic feeling that felt both sacred and also a little bit haunted too. And I think a lot of the setting had to do with it. We actually had a snowstorm come in 2 days before we were shooting, and we almost had to push the shoot, but we just sort of leaned into the idea of like the thawing of grief. And so actually, if you look really closely, you can see the snow melting throughout the film because we shot the film somewhat chronologically. And that was just one of those, wow, like what we call in filmmaking, happy accident. And it was just a blast to make.
I understand you filmed this in Oklahoma, but I gotta say, I've spent a lot of time on or near Lake Superior, and I felt like I was in, you know, Minnesota, Michigan, or Wisconsin, not far from Lake Superior. That snow, that happy accident, I guess, did that, I don't know, help it make it feel like home to you in some ways?
Does snow feel like home? That's a great question. Yeah, that was, I mean, of course, you never want to have the weather impact the shoot, but I really wanted to shoot on my reservation in Red Cliff in northern Wisconsin. And it was only because of the, as you know, in February, it's probably a foot of snow and negative 20 degrees in northern Wisconsin. And so unfortunately, we weren't able to shoot there because of time constraints. But yeah, it was sort of a kismet that the snow found us anyway. And you just have to laugh looking back on it.
We're talking about the short film, Four Nights and a Fire, with Alex Nystrom, the Ojibwe writer and director who created this short film. It recently aired on PBS Wisconsin. Alex, you've also said elsewhere that the film made you feel more deeply connected to your native identity. How so?
You know, after my father's death, that really was a big catalyst for me to reconnect with my Ojibwe identity. And it's my father's side that I have that. And, you know, I didn't grow up in the reservation. I grew up in the Twin Cities. And so I felt a little bit of that distance there. You know, when he passed, we actually had both a Catholic funeral and an Ojibwe ceremony. And that was sort of one of the catalysts that I didn't know at the time that really got me thinking about what really does happen after you pass on. And I think that was sort of the early inspiration for exploring grief from both the living and the dead.
Now you've got another screenplay. Now this one, a feature length screenplay that you're working on. And I know it's a long road from the printed word to the screen. Tell us about Spiral, this project you're working on.
Yeah, so Spiral is an evolution and an expansion on Four Nights and the Fire. And I would say the primary difference is that we actually do lean into more of the supernatural horror genre elements. And it also follows sort of similar characters. So it's about, again, an Ojibwe photographer who struggles to care for their grandmother, who unfortunately has dementia. And she's insisting that his father's spirit is haunting both of them. And so this is similar. It's in a secluded cabin set in northern Wisconsin. And yes, there's going to be snow, and we're planning on it.
Where are you in that process? I know it can be lengthy and lots of twists and turns on the way.
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough to be selected to be a 2025 Sundance Institute Native Lab Fellow. And that involves like a year-long, focused development period. So that really helped bring this script way, way further along than I ever, dreamed of initially. And now actually was just in Duluth at the Zeitgeist Minnesota Film Festival pitching Spiral just a couple of weeks ago. And we were actually scouting in the area too. So we're just starting to get towards that late development period and starting to put together the team and the cast. And, hopefully we'll be shooting sooner than we think.
I know here in Wisconsin, there's been an effort to promote more film production in the state. I don't know what the scene is like in Minnesota. As you are pitching this, as you are scouting locations, are you seeing like, hey, this could be a good place to make a feature film?
Yes, absolutely. I've been keen to do this, to bring a film to Wisconsin, to Minnesota. And I think that now has never been a better time. I know that Wisconsin has just updated their tax incentives, which is really exciting, and they've made it very independent filmmaking friendly, I'll add. And I know that Minnesota's also in legislation right now to try to do the same. So I think that there's never been a better time for filmmakers to come to the area and make their dreams come true. So.
Now you've got the short film under your belt. You've got this feature in the works. What is it that led you into this line of work? What is it that attracted you to want to make films?
I have sort of a classic origin story, if you will, in that I picked up a camcorder, my dad's old camcorder, and started making, silly movies with VHS. But I think what really got me going is I would say that music is my first love. And I was really intent on becoming a musician. And then I quickly found out, that path is quite difficult. And I admire musicians greatly. And film, actually, I just found to have so many more entry points and different ways to sort of play. And so I think film is just a really exciting sandbox that I love to play in between the visuals, the sound. I think one of my favorite parts of Four Nights in a Fire is the sound design. We worked really hard on it, and I had my sound designer, outside capturing live thunder and lightning noises and really trying to like bring that atmosphere in. And I think that it's just, film is all about atmosphere and all about putting the audience in the protagonist's, mind and viewpoint. And I just think I wouldn't be doing anything else. I just love filmmaking.
And this isn't fair to ask probably while you've got your mind on Spiral, but assuming you get through that process, you get Spiral made, do you have future projects in mind or a to-do list for your career?
Oh, I've got a lengthy to-do list, my friend. I definitely have a lot of, I've got a couple other projects that I'm really excited to be working on too. I'm actually potentially making another short film, depending on how the rest of this year goes, which I'm excited about. And I would love to, continue to work in the independent filmmaking ecosystem and, hopefully get into the studio system, in the next 5 years. So really excited about Spiral, about these other projects that I'm working on. And, it's really about persistence and endurance. I really think that filmmaking is a marathon because, like you said, from the words to the screen can be several years. So it's all about patience and persistence. And that's all I can really control. So,
Alex, thanks so much for sharing your work with us today.
Thank you so much.
Alex Nystrom is an Ojibwe filmmaker from Minnesota and enrolled member of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. His short film, Four Nights and a Fire, recently aired as part of the First Peoples, First Stories series on PBS Wisconsin.